With that, it's about determining if the person that you're with is a good candidate to rebuild trust with, right? And there are five steps to rebuilding trust. And the first one is responsibility.
Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. And we are still in season five, and you know this is the season about transformation. And I hope you are enjoying season five thus far. So, you know, we're in the month of February, and February is all about love. But this particular episode, we're going to dive into the topic of infidelity. Now, I know we all can relate to infidelity in some type of way, whether we went through it personally or we know someone specifically that has been affected. So today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Miss Brianna Latrice, and she is a speaker and she has so many different hats. But I'll let her tell you guys a little bit about herself after the interlude. So once I bring her to the stage, we're going to dive into an interesting conversation about infidelity and how we can start to heal our hearts afterwards. Hey, Brianna.
Hey, that was so beautiful. I loved it.
Thank you. You know, I try to make it look a little cute.
I was like, oh, she did that. Okay.
So I want you to tell the people who you are and, you know, why we are here talking about infidelity.
Yes. Okay. So hello, everybody. My name is Brianna Latrice. I am an affair recovery coach, and I help women in particular remove the shame of their decision to leave or stay after infidelity. Because both decisions will be hard. So I just walk alongside you to help you navigate whatever heart you choose. And so, yeah, it's all about infidelity, healing the heart, and just learning how to move forward in a healthy way.
I like that you said that, because it's going to be hard either way, whether you stay, whether you go, it's going to be hard. So for me personally, really quickly, the podcast was formed out of my healing journey, leaving my ex-husband. Okay. And it was some, you know, infidelity, it was abuse, it was all kinds of things, right? So moving from that to now being in this space was really hard for me, because when you are accustomed to a person, whether it's good or bad, you're still accustomed to that person. You're still accustomed to your routine. So now trying to live life with your new normal was very difficult, because, you know, it's like somebody being in jail or somebody being in the army. You can take them out of a situation, but mentally they're still there. So it's really cool that you do offer this help for women, because we go through that. Well, I'm removed, but mentally I'm still where I am. So just really quickly getting into the infidelity aspect after the affair, what do you think is the main reason why people choose infidelity? Like, why do they cheat?
That's a loaded question. But you know what? I will say this. I think that the reason why people cheat is because they are lacking the emotional intelligence to be able to express what it is that they're actually going through. But what you'll find out is that for most people, when they cheat, right? Like a lot of us, for women, we take it personal. So we're always like, okay, it had something to do with me. Did I not look a certain way? Was I not good in bed? Was I not, you know, should I have said or done or wore certain things? But really, once you get down to it, it's always something that the betrayer is dealing with personally. And so instead of them being able to have that ability to come and communicate to their partner what it is that they feel like they're lacking, they'll just go off and actually have infidelity, right? And that's more like on a mature level, I would say. You know, you're younger people, of course, it's just like, I see what I want. I want it all.
Right.
But overall, yes, it's always, I think it has to do with like just that inability to communicate exactly what it is that you're needing or where your partner is lacking in the relationship too, right? Because you'll hear a lot of people say, hey, well, I felt neglected in the relationship, like you didn't care. And so a lot of the times affairs will start off as emotional affairs, right? So you'll hear somebody say, okay, well, at work, or, you know, this particular person, we were good friends and she was always available and having a lending ear, because the dynamics change. If you have children, a lot of the times the mothers are putting their attention mostly to the children. So it can be a lot of things, but it ultimately boils down to that person lacks the ability or the maturity or the intelligence or the regulation to actually come to their partner and say, hey, this is where I feel like I'm lacking.
So do you think it's like, is there any general signs that a person would know? Like, okay, they moving kind of funny. And I think, you know, the closer you are in a relationship, the easier it would be to tell if something's off, as opposed to if you guys are just like, you just got together for some random. But if you have a connection with a person, you can kind of feel like their energy is off. They're not the same. Yeah. They usually move a certain type of way. You kind of like, what's going on? Is there like generic signs, or is it individualized?
I definitely think that you can say there are general signs. And one that I would say, and I actually heard this from somewhere and it has stuck with me, is that when connection leaves, commitment follows. And so sometimes, like you said, if you guys are really, really close, if you really do know your partner, and like you said, you know something is off, it means something in that connection, right? That how, like you said, how you vibe, and they're just not the same, and the energy isn't the same when you guys are around. So I would say that's where it starts. Connection has been lost, or you feel that it's dwindling away, usually that's when you know the commitment will follow. And you know, that connection can look like anything, right? Like when you guys are out and about and they're constantly looking on their phone, right? Or just not paying attention to you. They're not present in the relationship anymore. A lot of the times too, because the betrayer will deal with a lot of guilt, is like you'll see them kind of just being very snappy and very whereas in the past they were very patient. And so you'll see like a lot of different character traits where, you know, you were used to them, their character traits one way, and now they're kind of changing in a negative way. And so that's kind of like, I would say, like, would be two of the biggest ones. It's like the connection piece. And then if you notice things like in their character, the behavior, how they're moving, right? And, you know, like, girl, stuff we've been seeing for years too, like their patterns.
Yeah.
Right. So like, you know, consistently that your man always calls you on his lunch break, and now you're not getting them phone calls. Now all of a sudden, you know, said he was busy during his lunch break. Always having to work late, right? Or the things that you guys used to enjoy together, now all of a sudden he has to go and do them himself. So I would say look at those type of things too, like how is he moving, what behavioral changes are you noticing, and again, where that connection is now being pulled away, is really some telltale signs that something ain't right.
Yeah, that communication is key, because if I always say, if you talking short with me, you talking long to somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so I like, it's like,
yeah, you, if you used to, like you said, if you used to blow me up all day and we talking on every break, and then now all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm at work. Wait, what did you mean? You know, I'm at work. They didn't stop you like 2 weeks ago. Like, what's going on? So that's definitely true. And then you also have to be mindful, like you said, to always be present, because with everything that's going on, like the way of the world, jobs and different things. You don't know what that safe space, providing that safe space for your partner, really means to them, because you being present really asks them, how's your day? Sometimes we get so comfortable with, oh, they're not going away. That's just my husband. That's just my wife. Yeah. That's just my group.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, y'all don't speak no more. You don't, you always check in, because then when they start to feel, like you said, neglected, that's usually what it is. You used to ask me about my day, you used to compliment me on my hair, you know, little things like that. How, as the old folks say, how you got them is how you keep them.
Yes, ma'am.
So you got to be mindful of those things too. And I think people kind of lose that along the way once life starts life, as they say.
Yeah. And you don't want to get too comfortable, right? Because like you said, you can get in this space of comfort where you're just used to asking them how their day is every single day. And instead of actually meaning it and in holding that space to say, for them to respond with, hey, here's how my day is. Because a lot of times, you know, like for me, I always think about when you're walking in a store or something and you speak to somebody, you're like, hey, how you doing? But you're still walking. Mm-hmm. So you really don't care how they're doing. Because if you did, you would actually stop to wait for their response. But there's just this automation of like, okay, well, I'm being kind because I'm saying, how are you doing? But we're not really meaning it. And that's something where I'm trying to pay more attention to. It's like, I want to be able to speak to people, but if I don't actually have time to hear their response, then I'm not going to ask them, how are they doing? You know, it's just going to be like a, hey, good to see you. Or, you know, something like that. And so, like you said, when we get in this space of comfort in our relationships, a lot, we can feel it, right? Because relationships are energy just being exchanged. And so your partner can feel if you actually care how their day was, right? And if you are holding space to be present, to hear what they're saying. And so, like I said too, you know, a lot of times it starts as an emotional, like infidelity at first, because you weren't present or you weren't available to listen to them. And so making sure that you are, as a couple, that you both are being intentional about having that time, especially if you have a family, you know, and you're coming home, and at the time that your partner's coming home, maybe one is, you know, getting the kids settled. And so you may not have that time right when they come home, but being intentional about saying, okay, well, once we get the kids down, then we're going to have a check-in to see how we're, you know, one, before we go to bed, before we lay our heads down, we're going to check in with one another.
Yeah, that's key, because kids do change, and a lot of people feel like when we have kids, it'll be better. No.
Yeah.
No. They heighten whatever is already there. So if it's shaky, they're going to make it worse. If it's good, they're going to make it great. So you really got to like check in and don't lose sight of one another, because like you said, that was something that I did. When I had my kids, I was like full on mommy mode. Like, my baby need me, neglecting my spouse. Right. So that starts to cause other things. Now you seeking attention somewhere else, because the person that you want attention from ain't really dealing or messing with you. So instead of, like you mentioned earlier, instead of articulating that and saying, hey, listen, let's stop for a minute. Let's go out. Let's do this. Let's do that. I'm feeling away X, Y, and Z. How can we change this? People go and drift off because the DMs is free.
Yeah.
Social media presents, you know, all kinds of fantasies. And nowadays, people don't mind being that placeholder. They don't mind just being a random check-in or whatever, because they got somebody too. So, you know, it's intention and communication is definitely key, I think, and vital for a healthy relationship. So what about when you're out of this relationship? No, let's talk about that first. We'll talk about that after. What if you're in a relationship, right? And there was infidelity.
Yes.
But it doesn't cause you guys to break up. You still want to be with that person. How do you navigate that? Because now there's a wall. Now there's trust issues, right? There's all these different components.
Yeah.
Do you coach the woman or the person? We're not going to say women. We can just say whoever. How do you who was cheated on. How do you cope with them as they are trying to guide themselves into this new normal of there was some type of infraction here, but I still want to be here with this person. I still want to show up. I still believe in what we can accomplish. How do you coach them?
Yeah. So with that, it's about determining if the person that you're with is a good candidate to rebuild trust with, right? And there are five steps to rebuilding trust. And the first one is responsibility. A lot of the times, if you think back to, and most women will do this, like when we think back to when we first found out that our partners cheated on us, a lot of the times they don't even take responsibility for their actions, right? It's always, oh, well, you did this. Well, this is what led me. This is why I cheated, because you weren't you, right? And so the biggest part to me that will let me know if a person is a good candidate to rebuild trust with this responsibility is this person actually owning up to, no matter what the reason is for why they ended up stepping out on the relationship, do they take 100% responsibility that they were wrong, right? And then from there, it's about understanding. Are they truly understanding how their offense made you feel, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, and you know, I think back to my past, girl, and I'm like, he told me he was sorry a lot. But, you know, and in that space, I was so vulnerable and I wanted his attention and I wanted his love because he had starved me of it for so long that to get that sorry was just like everything to me. But then when I think back to it, I'm like, okay, but what were you sorry for?
Mm-hmm.
And he never said what he was sorry for, right? And that's the thing, is that when you get that understanding, you're allowing, so there's this space where I tell women, you have to be able to share with your partner just exactly how their offense made you feel. And the reason why you have to be able to share that is so that they can give you a personalized, heartfelt apology, right? So we're not talking about just no generic, baby, I'm sorry for hurting you. I was wrong. No. I need you to truly understand how this affected me so that when you give me the apology that I choose to accept, that I know that you're speaking to my hurts, that I know that you are speaking from a space of, okay, I'm wanting to do better from this, right? Mm-hmm. And so after that, after understanding, then there becomes, and I would say for me, these last three are in no certain order. The first two, definitely responsibility would come first and then understanding would come next. But then the next three, they can kind of interchange. And I would just say a willingness, right? And they have to be willing to want to be in a monogamous relationship. They have to be willing to want to work through this infidelity, because it's going to be hard, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is, like, you know, like we're gonna have triggers, you know, and we're going to be like, there are going to be things that make us feel insecure. And so as you're dealing with us through our insecurities, you're going to have to be willing to help us heal through this. And right. So you have to see if somebody is willing to actually do the work. Another thing is ability. And this is where women, and I'm sorry, I say women because that's who I mostly speak to. This is for everybody. ability, right? This is where people get choked up at. Does your person that you want and you have a desire to rebuild trust with, do they have the ability to be the partner that you want them to be?
Because it's a lot of potential.
Yes, it's a lot of potential, right? It's a lot of want. It's a lot of hope. That's the thing, is like we're looking at it from our lens of like, this is what I want. This is what I want. But what are they truly showing you? And so I have to have women actually look at that. Do they have the ability to be the partner that you want to them to be long term? And a lot of the times the answer is no. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where women get choked up at. It's like, you know, when they look at that, they're like, you know what? He really don't have the ability to be.
No, married them, you know, had kids with him and everything. Then you're like, oh,
COVID. All off of potential. All off of potential.
COVID helped a lot of people realize that. Like, he really don't have no potential to be.
Listen, COVID, I'm telling you right now, when I say it, I'm like, it's not that I'm not. Reverence for the people who lost their lives and things like that. But going through COVID was one of the best things that happened to me, because that was where I got to the courage to actually leave my husband for good, ex-husband now for good, because I talk about this, and it's kind of what you mentioned earlier. There's two parts to leaving a person, right? You leave them physically. So I always tell people, I got my divorce in 2018. That was like the physical, you know, like, this is, I'm done. You know, I'm done. Emotionally, though, I left him in 2020.
I know that's right.
Even though physically we weren't living together, even though on paper we weren't legally married, but my heart was still with him. And that is totally fine, that you have to understand that there are two different parts to that, to actually choosing to leave a person. But yeah. So, and then after that, it would be track record and then accountability. And a track record is just saying, like, whatever you guys have decided to come up with in your plan for rebuilding trust and what that's going to look like, is he actually living up to the word, to his word, or to you guys's plan, right? Mm-hmm. And as you're talking about track record, if he breaks up one of those promises that you guys have said, what does that look like for you when he breaks that? How are you going to respond? Are you completely done? And then the accountability piece is, you guys should get with someone that has like an unhealthy relationship, or someone that's going to hold you guys accountable for the promises that you have said, hey, this is what we're going to work on and rebuild. Because a lot of the times too, people who have committed like offenses, like adultery, or infidelity, they don't really have any friend, true friends that are holding them accountable, because you'll look back at it and you'll be like, dang, you knew this whole time and you didn't even try to tell him, like, yo, this is wrong. And so that's why it's too. So they have to be willing to do all of those things to rebuild trust. And if they're not, then that's where you kind of have to have that hard talk with yourself to say, okay, well, do I want to continue to put myself through this cycle? Because you are going to continue to get hurt again. Or do I want to continue to put myself through another cycle of hurt initially? But when I come out on the other side, like, it's just going to be abundance and true freedom. And so, that's what I would say for people who are trying to figure out, can I rebuild trust with my partner?
And when you decide to do the latter and, you know, leave and move forward, you do not see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't. It's so dark. Okay. Like, you don't, people will tell you, oh, it's going to get better. Yeah. Okay. That's not what I'm seeing right now. You got to just keep going, keep moving forward. And over time, you're going to look back and be like, yo, I really did it. Like, I'm good. See, now for me, it was the opposite. I left emotionally first before I left physically.
Okay.
So when the physical part came, I was like, whoa. Then everything came together and I'm just like, wow. Like, okay. Yeah. I don't know which one is, well, I think it depends on the person, but it's harder, I think, to leave emotionally first, but still physically be in the building than to be, you know, like the way you did it. But so what about now when you have decided, okay, this was my red flag, this is it, I'm gonna take my L and I'm gonna leave. That was my deal breaker. I'm out of here. How do we navigate life after the infidelity component when we decide to move forward from it?
It's trust. And that's the beautiful thing. It's like, whether you choose to stay or whether you leave, it trust is still the main component. And the thing is, now with trust, you're learning to rebuild trust with yourself. Because you think about, okay, all the red flags you overlooked. You saw them things, but you overlooked them. Like, you know what I'm saying? You ignored them, Lord. Or like all the times that you broke promises to yourself, where maybe like for me, I would catch them, right? And I'd be like, if you do X, Y, Z, I'm done. And then, girl, that fool will do X, Y, Z and more.
But all right, don't do it no more.
Yeah. And then I scream and yell. And then I come back. And so think about all the times that you have gone back on your word. Think about all the times that you've broken your own word to yourself, right? So a lot of the times when women leave, that's why you're so confused, you know, and I'm sure you've heard it too. Women are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to believe. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. Because you don't have any confidence, sis. Right. Like, because the root word of confidence is confide, which basically means to trust. And so because you have broken your trust within yourself, you don't even trust yourself now to make the best decisions for you, which is why you're questioning, is my choice to leave actually the best choice? Because nothing that I have done for the past however long you've been in this emotionally toxic relationship, nothing that you have done has led to success for you. And so it's about trust. It's about rebuilding that trust within yourself. And so another part to that too, is like, I always tell people the first part to it though, is just having yourself a pity party. And your pity party can be a day, 2 weeks, 3 months, but I want you to give yourself the space to feel the hurt. Because a lot of times too, when we come out of situations, we try to, you know, especially with Black women, we numb it. And with Black women, we try to put on this Black strong woman trope of, oh girl, I'm good. Oh girl, yeah, I'm done with him. On to new and better things. You know, I tell people all the time, I can always tell when a person has ended a relationship and it's due to infidelity. Because baby, they will take to social media so quick, and it's always new me. And they posted pictures, and it's a false sense of confidence. Like, because you're lying to yourself. You're trying to make yourself believe, I am actually feeling better. Yeah, I actually do got this, but you don't. And so I always tell people, we're going to have a pity party, and whatever that looks like. And if you're mad at yourself, I'm mad at you because I saw the numbers in your phone. I saw the pictures in your phone and I didn't say anything. I took you back 5 times and I feel so stupid right now. I've lost 15 years of my life when I should have left, 10 years ago when I first found out about, like, we have to be able to bring all of that up to the surface so that we can know what we need to work on, so that we can know how to rebuild trust with ourselves, so that we can move on. So the first part is, the pity party, but all of it is encompasses rebuilding trust within yourself. And it's really just loving yourself again. Like, I always tell my women that I work with, my job for you is to get you to love yourself so much that the next relationship that you get into, it's just an overflow of what you already do for yourself. So when a man tells you you're beautiful, it's just a compliment to what you already do for yourself. When a man brings you flowers, it's just a compliment to what you already do for yourself. Because now when you get into the next relationship, because see, what you didn't realize is that that first relationship you got into that relationship with a lack mindset. And so now for me, my job is to get you to be so full and so complete of yourself, where you're operating out of abundance, that now any man that comes into your life, he's just an overflow of everything that you already provide for yourself. And so, love, trust, and then feeling that thing.
Yeah, I always say you cannot heal what you don't reveal, right? Exactly. So it's like you is sweeping something under the rug, Mm-hmm. And after a while, you sweep enough stuff under a rug, it's gonna create a like a little lump in the rug, mm-hmm. and you might trip mm-hmm. over it. So, you know, it's better to release it all as opposed to slow leaking, because mm-hmm. that's worse. Mm-hmm. If you think about like a balloon with water in it, if you poke a small hole in it and it'll slowly drip out water, that's gonna take longer. As uh-huh. opposed to you just popping it in the middle and it just bursts, you could just get it over with. So yeah. it's definitely better to do that than slow leaking, because you'll mess around and be in another relationship, like you said, and you slow leaking on that person because you ain't really do the work uh-huh. that you needed to do in prior. And then that person hurts that person. And that's what hurt people looks yep. like in real time, because uh-huh. people haven't done the work necessary uh-huh. to heal before they move into relationships. And that's why they say it's pee in the pool, because people don't
nobody has really healed their traumas. And the thing is, like, after we have our pity party, then I have them ask themselves like hard questions. And one of the questions that I have women ask themselves is, what role did I play mm-hmm. in this infidelity? And I know some people will hear that and be like, really? Like, no, it was his fault. Like, he cheated on me. But one time I was doing a consultation with a client, and she was telling me that every relationship that she gets in ends in infidelity. Mm. And she said it got to a point to where she started telling her family and friends, like, I feel like there's something wrong with me, because every relationship, you know, ends in infidelity. And, you know, she was like, her family and friends told her, it's nothing wrong with you, girl. That's just all men cheat, right? And if you don't actually attack your traumas, right? Because there's two parts to this. And what I call it is the root trauma. Mm-hmm. I call it the root sniper. I'm sorry. And so what that means is that a lot of the times, we're just working on the symptoms, right? So the symptoms are low self-esteem, no confidence, the inability to trust, right? Anger issues, all of those. Those are just the surface level things. But we want to be able to get to the root cause of why. Why is it that every relationship that you get into ends in infidelity? Why is it that you knew this man was cheating on you for 5 years and you continue to take him back? Why is it that you saw all the red flags, but you didn't have the confidence or the courage to actually tell him, hey, this is wrong. You're not going to treat me like this. Why is it that you could not honor your word or honor yourself and see the value in yourself enough to know that you deserve more and that you should leave until he actually shows you that there has been some change in his behavior and in his character? Why is it that we stay? And so as long as we continue to work on those surface level issues, mm-hmm. you're never going to truly understand why you did what you did. And so we have to get to the root of that. And so that's why I have them ask that question, what role did you play in this? Why did you stay so long, right? And you'll find that we slowly get to peel back that onion of like, this is why I stayed. I had one client, once we were working together, it came out that she had been overweight for most of her life. And then when she got into her early 20s, she lost a lot of weight, right? And so then she got with her now ex-husband, but she got with her husband. And so once we actually uncovered that, what she realized is that she has low self-esteem, and she believed that no other man would want her, because when she lost that weight, this was the first real relationship in her 20s that she had ever been in. So she had this belief that I have to stay in this, even though he's cheating on me, even though he's, you know, emotionally abusing me, I have to stay in this relationship because I'm so insecure that no other man is going to want me. I had another client. She was going on her second divorce that was ending in infidelity. And once we got to the root of hers, it was she had father issues, right? Mm-hmm. And so her father was emotionally and physically abusive to her. So she had always believed that sometimes love hurts. And so the harder that I love my partner, then eventually or hopefully they'll see me. For me, my trauma was rejection. My daddy wasn't in my life. And I have a podcast episode called I Married My Father, because when I left my ex-husband for good, I actually met my dad for the first time. I was 31 years old, and my dad was or is, anyways, like is was the spitting image of my ex-husband from how he showed up in his relationship, how he treated his partner. And so like your father doesn't have to be present for you to still have those wounds or to still need that connection from another man. So for me, the reason why I stayed in my relationship for so long was because I didn't want to be rejected. And I wanted a man to truly love me. My daddy left me when I was young, didn't come back looking for me. So now I found my husband. And so there's no way that I can have this man actually leave me now. So I can't have two men who have been important in my life to leave me. And there are only two relationships that will resemble each other. And that's the relationship with our parents and the relationship with our emotional partner.
Wow. I think that for me, that's the same. That was the same reason. My dad, I knew of my dad. My dad was around. He came and he, you know, came whenever he felt like it and then left whenever he felt like it. So for me, when I got into a relationship and in my attachment style, it's an anxious attachment style I'm used to him, you know, coming and going. So when you're here, no, you need to stay here. You need to stay here. You need to stay here right now. Don't go nowhere. Let's do this. So me getting married, it was like, okay, this is safe. I'm good. I don't got to worry about nothing. So even if you treat me a certain way, technically we still married, but you can still, you know, stay here. You're good. You're not going nowhere. You're not going to walk away. You're not going to this. You're not going to that. Even if you cheating, but you still coming home at the end of the day, or you still, you know, turning your phone off and talking to me. So it's like,
we rationalized it.
Yeah. Like, okay, well, you know, well, he's just, you know, it could be worse. Like, and then, but then one thing leads to something else, and then something else. It's like when you go to the doctor and they give you a prescription for something that you go to that will fix that problem, but it will hurt something else. So now you got to go back and then you get medicine for that. And then you got to like, it'll affect something else. So you really have to do the work so you can understand why you choose who you choose and who you are. So when you get better, you pick better. Things look better. You're not attracted to the same things you was. Sometimes you can get so accustomed to a certain type of person. When you get healed, that type of person won't even be attractive to you no more. They say something to you, be like, I liked you. I really like they'll look so different to you. Like they're not even attractive. It's amazing to me how people look on the opposite side of your healing journey. It's like, I really came a long way.
Girl, or you don't even put up with it anymore. Like my mama and them now, like, you know, now that I'm dating again, and my mama and them were like, you just cut off people all the time. Because I know what I'm going to put up with and what I'm not, you know? And it's more so too of me just being proud of myself, because I'd be like, in the past, I would have, you know, accepted that and it's not okay. And so being proud of yourself for standing up for yourself and for finding the courage to be like, okay, I'm not attracted to that anymore, because like you said, I've evolved and I'm better now.
It's like setting boundaries. Before, you realize I really ain't had no boundaries. Like I really was allowing any and everything to talk to me. Like, you know who I am? Like, I'm not even going to waste my time. You don't have what? No.
Because how old were you when you were married? How old were you?
Well, I was married and divorced twice. So my first marriage was, I want to say I was 22.
Okay. So you were young.
Yeah. And that one was, oh, we having a baby type. Y'all need to get married. But this time I was more aware of what I was getting into. So I knew what I was getting into, but it just didn't work out. So I was 31.
Okay.
About 31, 32.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm 38 now. So it's like, yeah, back then I was like, okay, I knew what it was. But even then, even with the divorce, you still don't really fully know because everybody is different and everybody requires something different. So you have to know individually who you are. And still at 32, I did not know. Now at 38, oh baby, you not, we're not gonna play same games. We played at 32. I'm almost 40. Like, we not, you don't even say hi to me the right way. I'm just like, yeah, no, keep it. Ain't no hey yo, what's
you
up?
You are like that.
I was SpongeBob. I'm about to head out. I'm just because I'm not gonna waste my time. We don't know how much time we have here left on Earth, and I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life because I spent so much time playing. So now I'm not playing.
No, so because you know, and I think about that. There's two things. We were young, right? Like I was 19 when I got with my ex-husband, 26 or 27 when we got married. Wow. And so in total, I was with him for 13 years. So by the time I'm single, I'm in my 30s, 31, 32. So most of my younger years was with my ex-husband. Yeah. And so I think about that though, like one of the things that I'm now teaching my younger cousins coming up is date for who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
not for right now.
Don't date for right now. Mm-hmm. Or don't marry, you know, if you're dating, it's fine to date for right now. But when you guys start talking about marriage and stuff like that, you really need, because we're going to change. We change from 20 to 30, from 30 to 40. Like we are constantly evolving. And if you guys don't have the same, not necessarily the same values, but if you guys don't have complementary values and complementary foundational beliefs, and when I say that, it's like, what do I mean by that? You know, maybe you don't know how to budget, but you have a desire to build a legacy and to be financially independent. But the person that you're with, he's great at that. And so you guys, what type of things do y'all value that complement each other? Because I really don't want anyone who is just like me and who values everything that I value. But if you care about legacy and I care about wealth, you know what I'm saying? Like those are complementary of each other. And so when you're dating, you really have to look at those things, because I think that that will at least kind of start the molding of you guys evolving together. Because like we just talked about earlier, when that connection leaves is when that commitment will follow. And a lot of the times the connection leaves because you guys are just growing apart. Who you guys are becoming in your future is not who you guys were in your past. And so I think we have to become smarter with learning that and teaching our younger generation that. And I say that because I don't know, like if you have seen like these different contents, but because of the work that I do, people send me this stuff all the time. But like, girl, and I look, I'm getting so old and I'm accepting that, Jesus, I'm fine with that. Cause I can't even call their name. Oh my gosh. Summer Walker. It was Summer Walker. Summer Walker and Sexy Red, and they were on a podcast together, and somebody had wrote in or something like that about their boyfriend cheating on them, and they were saying stuff like, oh, well, sis, he's only cheated one time, like, just stay with him, like, don't leave, like, all men cheat, like, it's okay to take him back, like, you have to be, like, don't just be leaving him because he's cheating. And so I'm saying that to say this, that if we have a younger group or a younger generation of women who are coming up, who are telling our women, hey, love yourself so less that you accept less than from anybody, right? And so we, it's our responsibility to educate and to show this narrative of like, because I love myself, because I value myself, because for me, you know, my belief is in God. So because I know that I'm made in the image of him, I am his child, right? Like, I am amazing. I am going to choose that that is not okay. But there has been a lot of different content pieces of where the younger generation are saying, oh, girl, well, if all men cheat, so you got to find another reason to leave your man. And that is heartbreaking to me, because that tells me that, like, this is how this generation of young women are seeing themselves and what they're doing. And I don't even think they realize it, but what they're doing is they're putting the man in a higher value or a higher position than themselves, because you're saying that, yeah, it's wrong, but just for the sake of having a man, just for the sake of looking happy on social media and things like that, you can accept a mistreatment. And that's making me really sad right now. So, yeah,
you know, I'm a part of the Claire Huxtable generation. And she set the standard for me. She ain't tolerate no foolishness, okay? Because that episode when Elvin came in there and said, I didn't know you did that sort of thing. She said, what sort of thing? What's she said, no, I brought him a cup of coffee like he brought me a cup of coffee. Like, I just, I love that. I love me some Claire Huxtable.
But look, and then at the end, she was like, to Elvin, now, what would you like in your coffee?
Uh-huh, like, it's a soft read. I'm going to give you a soft read now. Let me just, but she did it in a classy way, okay? Like, but nowadays, it's like, we have to set the bar. Uh-huh. And we have to just instill into the generation, whether it's girls or guys, you know, know who you are and whose you are. Like you said, like, we are king's kids, so you need to conduct yourself in a royal way. I tell my son, my oldest son, because he's 15, and I tell him, you know, you don't be a follower, you are a leader, you know, you are an original, you know, you are a masterpiece. Like, you have to conduct yourself as that all the time, because a lot of the stuff that you attach to, it ain't right. So, you know, you need to remember who you are, and you won't have the same consequences as everybody else. Right. Your life ain't gonna be the same, you know. So you have to remember that you are set to be the difference maker. You can't be just like everybody else. And that's what everybody is doing. Everybody is copying and repurposing and you know, just copying and pasting. And we have to remember why we are here. We have been created. And I always say this at the end of the episode, we have been created for a time such as this, because we are, we have to show people who God is in real time, in real life, you know, and be those examples, because if we be the examples on TV, we're going to be out here looking crazy.
Yes. And, you know, I love that you say that too, because the best way to show and be the example of God is through our lives. Like, our lives are the truest, rarest form of discipleship. Yeah. And so we have to be aware of that. And I say that to say this, like, everything that I do with Life After Infidelity is a ministry. And so it is me discipling by every lady that I help, every man that hears my story. It's just discipling. And when I first got my divorce, when my divorce was finalized, I had, since now I've had several people come up to me, but I'm going to say five people. I'm going to say these five people. Three people came up to me who were over their 60s and said, I admire you because you have the courage to do what I couldn't. Mm-hmm. One is still in her marriage. The other one was like, you have given me the courage to stay. Because I was going back and forth, you know, opening that door back up with him. But just seeing your life and seeing the strength that you have done has made me. Somebody else came to me and said, I've been going through this secretly, but to see you actually have the strength to go through it, now I'm going to file for my divorce. My mom and her marriage ended in infidelity too. But she even tells me to this day, I'm learning so much through you and from you. And so everything that we're doing, our lives are being a testimony. Yep. To other people. And so you never know. That's why we have to be careful about what we say, the advice that we give, the choices that we make, and how we live our lives, because that can directly impact someone that you don't even know is watching you.
Yeah, we are definitely the blueprint for somebody that somebody may need, you know. And I tell people that all the time. You're not going through what you're going through for you. You're going through what you're going through so you can help somebody else along the way. But if you do not take all of the necessary nuggets and gems and lessons from this actual thing that you're going through, you can't help them the way that you're supposed to. So just be fully present in that moment, because you're going to learn something from this moment. And that's that nugget, that lesson, whatever you want to call it, that is going to be the catalyst for somebody else to transform and to move on to the next situation. If you didn't do what you did and you didn't have your podcast, I didn't have my podcast, people wouldn't have those outlets. I didn't have outlets like this when I was going through. If I did, I would have left probably earlier. But I said, because I didn't, now it's my job to present that for someone else.
Absolutely.
So that's why my podcast is for, you know, mental health, personal development, all the things, because it's imperative to show people that if I can do it, you can do it. You know, like, here are some tips. Here are some steps. Here are other people that have done it. So, you know, out of what do they say? Out of something about a testimony, you know, our testimonies will help other people. So we have to make sure that we are not just hoarding our healing. We are healing, and we're also telling people how we healed and that we were healed, because a lot of people, especially on social media, they like to show you the good parts. They don't show you the bad parts. So I want people to see it all. But now I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell the people, you know, where they can find you, where they can support you. And if anyone, any woman wants to, you know, utilize your services, you can tell them how they can access that too.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. So you guys, you can follow me on all social platforms at Life After Infidelity. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Life After Infidelity. If you want to get in contact with me, I do free 15-minute consultation calls. So you can go to www.lifeafterinfidelity.net and get a free consultation call. I also have some freebies. So if you look in the bio on my Instagram page, I have a freebie for overcoming infidelity. I also have a freebie about setting boundaries. And then I have a $7 electronic ebook about difficult questions to ask your partner after you find out that they have cheated. And those will be foundational questions to help you decide if your partner is a good candidate to rebuild trust with. It's about a list of 25 questions. You don't have to ask them all. But yes, conversations to ask your partner after infidelity. But if you just want to reach out to me, say hi, always go to Instagram, shoot me a DM, and I would love to connect with you over there.
I love that. You know how many people about to run over and get that question in?
You know, it's so funny. Every time I do a podcast, I always get the alerts. People at buying that $7 book. They buying that $7. Yeah. I love it, and I created it because a lot of the times we ask the wrong questions when our partner has cheated. And, you know, we ask stuff like, well, was she better in bed than me? What does she look like? And those conversations aren't helping to move the needle or the conversation forward. And so I've created questions that you really should be asking.
Wow. I love it. I thank you so much for coming on and being a guest. I love this conversation. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
You are welcome. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope most of all that you understood everything that was said and you took the nuggets that were given, because there is definitely healing after infidelity. Whether you decide to stay or you decide to leave, the choice is yours, but I want you to share this episode out with somebody that you know, somebody that you love, and as always, I want you to know you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world, and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next episode, you guys, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.